You're listening to Radio Aryan at RadioAryan.com.
And welcome to Truth Will Out Radio, and this is the first podcast that we've made in the new year. It's New Year's Day, so a happy new year, everyone, and a happy new year, Dennis.
Happy new year to you and all the followers out there.
Yeah, well, we hope everyone's going to have a really good 2016 and that it's going to be even better than 2015. Personally, I thought 2015 was pretty good, especially with Donald Trump there coming right out of the blue. I mean, that was just a gift from God, really. I mean, it didn't come about through us blogging or podcasting or any of the speeches we make or leafleting or anything like that. He just came right out of the blue and said, build a wall and ban the Muslims. Just like a gift from God, personally. That's what I think he was. I really hope that he wins the candidacy for the Republican Party. And after that, I pray that he becomes president. But, anyway, today we're going to be doing part two of our look back over 2015 that we started on Christmas Day. And we got as far as August. And on August the 16th, we did our first live broadcast. And most of them have been live since then. We've changed the time of it. Now we've changed the time to 7 p.m. British time, 2 o'clock in the afternoon American Eastern time on a Friday. And that's when this is going out as well, but this is pre-recorded. We're not actually live at the moment. But our first live podcast that we did, the subject matter was Benjamin Friedman. And Benjamin Friedman has provided a lot of source material for you, Dennis, hasn't he?
Well, I said this the other day that there's some honourable Jews, and Benjamin Friedman is such person who actually changed to Christianity and spent a lot of his fortune trying to expose the communist New World Order to everybody. And for that, we've got to be grateful, because he was an insider and one of the people who was at the Versailles Treaty. And so everything what went on there when the Jews had a picnic party.
And his speech where he exposed what went on with the Jews and how they had exchanged Palestine in order to bring the Americans into the war, I think that was the first time that people had actually heard that. Realised that.
Yeah, and the comments I get sometimes of people, I can feel the hatred in them when they mention his name. So he's obviously done quite a bit of damage to the to these kind of people. And like I say, I've got to be grateful for it, really.
And he said that he was a Catholic, didn't he? He was a Jew, but he claimed that he'd renounce his Jewry and become a Catholic. Trying to expose the Jews. And I think there were quite a few like that in the Middle Ages that became Catholics and renounced Jewry and then tried to expose the Talmud. You know, we have had some helpful Jews over the years, but just because there is occasionally ones that help us, there are exceptions to the rule. But that doesn't mean that the rule doesn't exist. Jews are dangerous for us, basically. They're a danger to white people.
Well, one of the telling lines that I used in the documentary, what he said was, and this has always been a bit of controversy with the National Socialists, is the fact that he said that he lived in Germany at that time, and he said that the Germans had decided Europe was going to be Christian, and that they would have to, you know, it would either be Christian or communist. And the Germans decided that it's going to be Christian, and they were going to take up the banner of that to fight the Bolsheviks. And this is a guy who lived in Germany at that time and has revealed, you know, even more as well. So I was grateful for that line, because I then went on to find a World War II poster eventually, which saw this huge Bolshevik attacking a giant cross. And behind this cross was the forces of Germany and the Axis powers. And it blatant that these Bolsheviks knew what were coming. A Christian army was coming. And yet here in the West, there's a lot of people refute that, and that poster said it all.
Yeah, I know the poster you mean. It's quite an amazing picture, really, of these armies going towards this giant communist and who's crushing the cross. A picture can tell a thousand words. And it was a holy war. It was a war of Christians against godless communism. And that is a great quote of Benjamin Friedman's when he says that. And this leads us on to the next one that we did, which was actually called Communism in Germany and Britain. And it was basically just showing how this is what we have today. We were told that communism fell when the Iron Curtain fell, when the USSR fell apart. But that just fell apart in name, because what we have today is communism. I was just thinking this when I saw this climate change conference that they just recently had. And they had all these people together calling for there to be more taxes and less power stations, less electricity used at an international level. So all the nations together having to obey this diktat so that they all signed up to these treaties to do what they're told, basically. And that's internationalism under the guise of climate change protesters. Under a climate change treaty. But that's what it is. It's communism. It's internationalism. Any way that they can find to get all the nations working together is just another step to the new world order.
Well, I think we're already there, to be honest. I think it was a question after World War II of fooling, the politicians put in charge of Europe, for instance, would then go back to the populations and fool them into thinking that the European Union was going to be a positive thing, and listed numerous reasons. But actually, what it boiled down to was there was giving up the sovereignty, and that's exactly what happened in Europe, and exactly what's happening. I think it was 1993 when Clinton signed the NAFTA agreement, which was the start of that process over in America. And that will eventually take place. I think they've got 10 regions around the world to make, so that then it's easily controllable. But all this is all planned and it's all taking place. And there's hardly there's certainly no military, enemy to the new world order, unless things turn with Russia. But other than that, there's very little resistance. Germany was the last one. So the things have been pretty smooth for them lately, in that sense,
As the series went further on, we got more supportive of Putin and what Putin's doing and how he's standing up to the new world order. But, the EU, that was just set up in order to rule over the European nations and get rid of all their borders and have this ruling clique that were supposed to be Jews, according to Kudenhove Kalergi. And they keep coming up with new excuses every time for why we have the European Union. And the reason for that is all these politicians go to the same universities and they are taught to repeat these reasons, almost like mantras for why the European Union is there. And every time it gets realized that what they're actually doing is lying about this, they just change the reason. And the reason for that is because of these Jews that are in the universities. They're the ones that have kept this momentum going of wanting to set up the European Union. So despite all the people being against it, the politicians will always be for it because they've been taught that they must be for it. They must be for the European Union in all their political courses, at the London School of Economics, at all these universities that they go to. It's like a chorus, all calling for the European Union. And we must have closer unity between the nations. Of course, now we see what that really means is a complete loss of sovereignty, and we can't defend our borders, and we're being invaded by the third world. And one of the reasons why nobody is standing up against it is because we've all been feminized and emasculated, and we've also been distracted with pornography and the pornification of society. Men are living in a constant state of distraction, because their testosterone is being stimulated all the time. They're seeing half naked women, and they're in a state of half arousal all the time. And as we know, you know, when you get aroused, you can't think about anything else. You're confused and you want to get in there with this girl. So everybody is confused by this pornification of society.
This is true. Pornography was one of the first things that Israel used on Palestine when they invaded Beirut. You know, it's been a policy of social engineering in the US and other places as well, because it does distract people from what's going on. And when you're distracted, then, you know, things slip by.
Well, A. Michael Jones, another character who's featured quite a lot in your documentaries, he was saying that pornography is a weapon. It's not freedom of speech. It's not freedom of any kind because it was used as a weapon by the Israelis in Beirut. Yeah. That was the first thing they did, was take over the television stations and start broadcasting pornography to distract all the men.
I think they're doing the same in India as well at the moment as well, because over there at the moment, that country is suffering from the same obsession.
And these people in these other countries, they see this porn, and they see the porn actresses dressed like the Western women. So when they come to the Western countries, they think all the women are sluts, basically, because that's what they're used to seeing.
Yeah.
They're used to seeing them in this pornography. Which destroys their countries as well. I mean, we've got this rape epidemic that's going on in India that's been brought about through this, and they're pushing feminism in India. India used to be the country in the world with the least amount of divorce. It was something like less than 1% of marriages ended in divorce. Yep. And that's increasing now. And you've got, they're being encouraged to go out and work, and the men are upset by this. And as well as that, they've been pushing the pornography over there. So you've got these increases in rapes. So you can see what the effects of what's being pushed on the Western world. You can see the effects of it, the way that we're pushing it onto the rest of the world. And of course, it's Jews behind that.
And, well, these people are—they're not unintelligent people, and they know about the emotions of especially of men and what distracts and what. You know, can be used against them, and without even anyone realizing. And that's the craftiness of how they do it. And even with women, they give them this power base. And with most women, you give women power, it goes to the red. And we see, you know, we've seen on certain examples, I'm sure that people can think of certain women from, exuberating from power.
Well, they overcompensate once they're given the power. They try to overcompensate for the fact that they didn't have it before. They mistake assertiveness for aggressiveness, and they'll be aggressive rather than assertive. Now, women are not men, and the idea that they should try and emulate men is just ridiculous. It's just tearing our people apart and our society apart, and it's deliberately being done. And it's the same people behind it. And as you say, Dennis, they are experts at manipulating people's emotions. And
in 2016, Hillary Clinton does not become president, because, as you say, women are different to men. In fact, they're much, much harder breed in many ways. In fact, you know, whenever you hear about these relationships, teenage relationships, it's always the young man who is found hanging from a tree or a beam, and never the woman. The woman always seems to be able to get enough strength together to move on.
Well, a man used to be pretty much guaranteed that he was going to have a wife and that he was going to settle down and be with that wife for the rest of his life and provide for her. And now they're trying to take that away and allowing divorce and sending women out to work. The man, you know, his instinct is to protect the woman and family and provide for that woman and family. If you take that away, then he hasn't got that fulfillment anymore.
Yeah, he becomes mixed up with life, yeah, for sure.
And they push this idea of falling in love, and it's just falling in lust, really. You know, it's just falling in lust. You used to have to marry who your parents told you that you were supposed to marry. And if you were lucky,
they do best.
You would fall in love later on. You would fall in love a few years down the line. And again, you can actually go back to India and you can see these Indians from arranged marriages. I saw a program, the BBC were trying to knock arranged marriage, and they had these young girls there. Oh no, we don't want to be married. We want to be feminists. And the BBC tried to find some unhappy people that had had arranged marriages, and they had a real struggle doing it. And they were interviewing these couples that were in their 40s and 50s. And I've never seen such happily content, married couples. And they said, well, at first, you know, I didn't really know my partner, and we were a bit unsure, but over the years, we've really grown to love each other. And I think that's a more natural way of doing it than falling in lust, falling in love. If you fall in love in an instant, you can fall out of love in an instant. And with Hollywood telling all these young girls that, they're going to meet the perfect alpha male that's going to take them away and do everything that they want them to do, it's just all false. So they're being given these false hopes and told they can have careers as well as have their children later on. And of course, it doesn't all happen that way. And then they get depressed and miserable and they don't have any kids. And when they have kids, when they're too old and they're divorced and all washed up. And then you get these miserable, haggard feminists that are in their 60s that are just bitter and twisted, whereas the woman that's had lots of children, the grandmother, the happy grandmother with loads of grandkids, still married to the grandfather, is the really happy one. They're the ones that did things right, and it's just doing things naturally.
Well, what these idiots don't realize, if you destroy nature, you're actually destroying yourself. You know, long term, it's a no-win situation, and they will keep tampering with nature. And that in itself is enough to get me annoyed.
Well, you can't beat nature, can you? Mad to just even try. Yeah, with this emotional manipulation that they do with the movies and with the television. I mean, this is one of the great things about the internet is we've been able to produce our own media. And you yourself, Dennis, have become a bit of an emotional manipulator with your documentary. That really does get the emotions going. It's great to have the emotions being stirred, but on our side with a piece of media.
I've lost count of people who went to school and fell asleep in the history lessons, and I'm pretty sure they did that on purpose because I was one of them as well. And at the end of the day, when you're studying history, it has to be an emotional subject because the things what happened throughout history, you know, can bring tears to people's eyes, you know, victories in wars and, you know, even, you know, kings cutting off the queen's heads are all emotional subjects. And yet they're treated, by the education system so coldly and so, you know, with no feeling whatsoever. And yet, once you get into the history and involve, you know, various types of Hollywood techniques, which I certainly did with that documentary, I don't deny that, then everything starts to actually take place in front of you. And I've lost count of the people who've actually watched a documentary and said, even though they'd studied it at school at history, and even some people had got a degree in history, turned around in emails and have said, they didn't realise until they watched the documentary, they never knew anything about World War II at all.
Well, they're going to have quite a shock when they watch your documentary because it's going to be the opposite of what they thought about World War II. And this brings us to the next podcast, which was it was called Hitler the Movie. And this was where you were working on trying to cut down the documentary series to make it into a movie-length film. How is that going, Dennis? Are you still working on that?
No. I mean, you know, I made a decision after several attempts, and I realised that there was a reason that it lasted 6.5 hours, and that was simply because I had to re-Nazify the denazified person watching it. So that meant the extra hours that are in the documentary is to show the side which was stripped away from everybody after World War II. And without that side of it, the documentary means nothing. So after several attempts, I felt to cut it down to the length of 2 hours, to leave 4.5 hours out was too much. The 2-hour version just would not work. And that was a decision I made and I've said ever since. So unfortunately, you know, people are going to, if they want to watch it, they can watch it in episodes and they can watch it over a period of time. But to lose that, explanation of certain things about the SS and certain other things about Hitler. To lose that, to lose an explanation of things, you know, if people don't know that, then the documentary doesn't work.
Yeah, it's absolutely essential, every part of it. And I should imagine there were lots of pieces that you had to cut out just to get it down to the length it is now.
Yeah.
And that week or that following week, the Czechs in Czechoslovakia, 60% of them said that they would vote for Hitler if he was around now. So I think that would really be 100%.
In fact, it's funny you should say that because I've just been looking at Part 13 again this morning. And 2013, I did an offer of the greatest story never told. 2 years later, in 2015, things in Europe have got significantly worse with all the migration, etc. But not only for us, or saying, I'm not only for the people who supported Germany, should I say, but for the people who opposed Germany. And now even they are getting, you know, they can't really celebrate World War II. Britain now, London now is no longer an English city. Britain is no longer the Britain it was in World War II. So consequently, there was no victory for Britain. That simple. Oh,
and there is resistance.
Part 13 will show it. Sorry?
There's resistance all over Europe to this. I say there were 60% of the Czechs voted, it was said that they would vote for Hitler if he was around now. I should imagine that's getting up to 80 or 90% now. With the invasion and the way that that has just taken up pace since then. And also in that week, there was a Bendigo Mosque protest in Australia and the nationalists outnumbered the communists 10 to 1. This was a huge success for the nationalists in Australia. And I think that same month or the month after, there was a protest in Dover that the National Front were involved in. And again, they massively outnumbered the communists. So we did have some big successes there.
Well, by rights, nationalists in every country should always outnumber the communists. Because as we said the other day, that, you know, to be nationalist, you know, to have the best interests of your country and your family at heart is the centre ground. And so in any country, nationalism should outweigh any extreme outsider, which communism is, you know, but they make it out, as we've said before, that, you know, this culturism and race mixing and all this kind of thing is the centre ground. And it's the nationalists, what are the extreme, which is the most ridiculous thing, you know, I've ever heard. But consequently, people believe it. And so when you're saying, you know, now that these people are starting to get outnumbered, although they should already be outnumbered, it's good to hear that they are now anyway.
Well, we are the ones that are following the natural order and the natural order of things and trying to go in the right direction. We're not going against nature, which is how the society around us is heading. And you can't go more against nature than sodomy. And that's the negation of the creative act. It's the complete opposite of it. It's foul. And we're the ones that are promoting marriage between men and women and marriage with your own kind.
Nice for it.
Yeah, yeah, how can it be a novelty to suggest marrying someone who looks like you rather than someone who doesn't?
Well, the thing is that if everything, you know, I've certainly in the last decade have speeded up, but everything is now bad. And like I said before, that if you accept that gay marriage is right and good, then anything is acceptable. You know, that's the bottom line. For two guys to be married, you know, live together and even raise up adopted children. If that is good, then anything is acceptable. And, you know, not in my, you know, it'll never be acceptable in my point of view.
Well, it's going against nature and it's going against the order of the universe. And the next podcast was called Logos and the Jews' Rejection of It. And Logos is the order of the universe. And when the Jews rejected Christ, they were rejecting the order of the universe. And that's when they became this force for chaos. in the nations that they were in amongst. And in this podcast, we talked a lot about Jewish supremacism and how they used the Talmud. They followed the Talmud and the instructions in the Talmud for ways to deceive the Gentiles and take over their nations. So the religion itself, it's not just built on rejecting Christ, but it's also like a based on a crime manual for how to take over the Gentile nations. And I forget.
Yeah, and their God is not the God. Many people are fooled by thinking that their God is the same God as our God, only they don't believe that Jesus was the Son of God. That's a fallacy. That their God is not that God at all. Their God is the synagogue of Satan. Satan is their God.
Well, Jesus calls them the Antichrist. He says that they are the sons of the devil, the synagogue of Satan, as you say. And the Talmud itself, it really does break all the laws that are in the Old Testament and tell them how and when they can break the laws. It's all about trying to find loopholes. And when they talk, we also talked about how there are two Talmuds. There's one which means the Torah, which is the first five books of the Bible. And there's another Talmud, which means the Babylonian Talmud, which is all these instructions by the rabbis on how to take over the Gentile nations. And when the Jews talk about the Torah, what they mean is the Babylonian Talmud. They don't mean the Torah that is the five books of the Bible. They mean the Torah that is the Talmud, because they have two of them. Torah Shebi'at Tov and the Torah Shebi'at Peh. I think are the two words for them. And the one that is the first five books of the Bible is a scroll that just stays on the wall of the synagogue. And they take it down for any of the gullible goyim that go into the synagogue and try and make out that that's what they follow. When it isn't what they follow. I mean, their rabbis have said that the Torah that is the first five books of the Bible is just for children and women to study, and that the Jewish male must study the Babylonian Talmud. And in it, they say Noah is a drunken transvestite. Isaiah, they sawed him in half because he spoke ill against the Jews. Yeah. They run down all these figures.
I had that classic piece of the rabbi who actually compared the goyim to two drops of water in the bottom of a bucket. And then, the slice left over from a cucumber, which fell away to the floor and nobody wanted, and actually turned on his students and actually said, and you want to be like them, aimed at the students who were looking at Goyim women. So that was a unique piece of footage that I managed to find.
Well, that was a good example of the way that they twist the Bible as well, because that wasn't from the first five books of the Bible. That was from Isaiah, who they say in the Talmud, they sawed in half. So what he's doing in that clip, he's trying to defame the Bible by claiming that bits in the Old Testament justify the Jews. And then if you actually go and look at that part of the Old Testament, it's not talking anything about that. Anything at all about that. I think we went into some detail of exactly what he was talking about in this podcast. Yeah. But it was nothing at all like what he was saying. So that's, a good example of how they take the Bible and they twist it completely into saying the opposite of what it's actually saying. And then they say, oh, yes, well, we are the elder brothers of Christianity to the Pope. And then behind closed doors, they're spitting and cursing at Christians and urinating on crosses and trying their hardest to get rid of menorahs. You sent me a really good clip the other day from the Daily Mail, Dennis, about this Jew in America who tried to get the whole class banned from going to see Santa.
There was his parents who took him, not at school.
Yeah, the Gentile parents then got together and walked out of class and went to go and see Santa. And this Jew was saying, well, I was only because I wanted to be inclusive. And then she went on about how her grandparents had been tortured during the Holocaust. And it's so predictable. And this is just their tactics, isn't it? It's every time they've got to bring up the Holocaust. If they're caught out doing something wrong, bring up the Holocaust. If you want to criticize the Gentiles, bring up the Holocaust. And it's just this weapon that they have to batter the Gentiles with. And that's why we've got to work so hard at making people aware of that fact, and that the Holocaust is not a fact. It's just based entirely on a tissue of lies and propaganda. negative propaganda against the Germans.
It's the weight of guilt on the white people which allows them to then get away with certain aspects.
And the next one that we did was called White Genocide and the Unholy Alliance. And this was on September the 29th. And this was the Unholy Alliance was basically Muslims and feminists. Now, how on earth could you think Muslims and feminists could ever be on the same side?
Well, that's how the Jew works things, isn't it? They have these certain weapons against the white Europeans, and even in America and in Europe, and these they'll use anything they can, and feminism and the Muslims are just that kind of weapon.
Well, I think the only way you could get Muslims and feminists working together was if they had the same enemy. And, of course, the same enemy is a white Christian male. That's who the Muslims are after, and that's who the feminists are after. And that's why they're both used as a weapon against white people. When you think of what's being done to the women by these Muslims when they're being raped, and yet they still call for more immigration. When you think of the way that the Muslim women are treated with these female genital mutilation, to think that feminists and Muslims would be on the same side, that just shows you how powerful the Jewish control of the media and the Jewish influence in these organizations is, to be honest. It just shows you how powerful it is, that if it can bring these two opposing people together, then it has to be a powerful force that has done that. And it has to be the same enemy. This is the thing. I mean, this is just more proof that white people are the enemy. And it is a white genocide, which became a theme for the next couple of months with you working on this white genocide thing, and pointing out how it goes all the way back to Babylon. That was a little bit later on. The next one after this was the Antichrist wait for their anti-Messiah. And this was to do with Solomon's temple that they're rebuilding in Israel, and the world court that they've built there, that's all built to Freemasonic architecture.
The Illuminati pyramid on top.
And how that basically they've taken our sovereignty, which comes from God, and have replaced it with force, basically, the threat of force. Yep. And this world court, who gave the world court sovereignty? Whoever came up with, who said that the judges at the world court can have the right to judge different nations? Nobody ever gave them that sovereignty. Exactly. It doesn't come from God. It doesn't come from under God. The sovereignty in our nations comes from God. That was given to the monarch so long as he obeyed God's laws, so long as he obeyed the law. Authority is only authority if it comes from God and it obeys the laws that come from God. If it's besides that, then it's not based on any tradition. It's not based on any authority that comes from a higher place. It's just based on the authority of man. And the authority of man is just with the threat of force, which is what this UN court, this world court, is going to be. And it's just going to be the Jews that running the UN, whenever they want to attack someone, like, say, Bashar al-Assad, they'll attack the country, and then they'll say, well, we're going to put you in this world court, and we're going to take you to court. And it's all based on the same kangaroo court of the Nuremberg trials, where they weren't allowed to properly defend themselves. I mean, where was the legality to the Nuremberg trials when the majority of the place were made up of Jews? It's a maxim of law that you can't judge in your own
criminals.
Yeah, you can't judge it in your own interests in a case. If you're involved in the case, you can't be part of the judging, which they were.
Of course they were, yeah. I mean, them Russians, I mean, while that Russian judge was passing judgment, I'm quite sure he was aware of the millions of rapes that his army had already done. And I'm quite sure the Americans knew about it as well.
Well, it's just a scam. I mean, we can look back at it now and we can see that the shrunken heads and the supposed Jew skin lampshades are just impossibilities. Yep. But when our parents and grandparents were watching that, they were taken in by that and they were really shocked by it. And the Germans were.
Sure. And then along comes Hollywood. But like we said again previously, there were 7,000 pages in the books of Churchill, Eisenhower and de Gaulle. Never mentioned it. Never mentioned once. Not one line.
It's all just in the ideas and in the fantasies of the Jews, basically, that they tried to bring to life with Hollywood.
I think it took hold more or less in the 70s, more than it did, you know, back then. I don't think, you know, there's more of a deal made of it. Certainly, once Hollywood started getting into production, it took a life of its own. I mean, it wasn't even called the Holocaust until the 70s. So there was obviously a concerted effort to keep it in the public's eye, and it has been ever since, with all these Holocaust days going on around. You know, I think one in January, I think, isn't in London, is there?
Holocaust theme parks, these museums.
Yeah, sure. They've certainly got them all over the world.
Mandated Holocaust training for children.
Well, I went on YouTube once. They have a Holocaust Center on YouTube. I think it's in America somewhere, Washington or something like that. I could see what they was doing. You know, there were school kids being taken around with all these screens of, German soldiers and these Auschwitz, etc., and over loudspeakers with these shouts of German commands and giving it the impression that you were there in the camp and living their side of their story, if you understand what I'm saying. For quite an experience for a school child to come out at the other end quite, you know, taken in by it all, which is the idea, of course.
And you're trying to terrify them and say
machine
white people
guns
are against
like
you.
That were going off, you know.
Make them hate the Germans and make them stick together as the Jewish people. You know, it's all about them trying to encourage their people to stick together and encourage guilt in our own people. That's what it's all about.
Yeah, so when these kids grow older, they don't really complain about the taxes going towards Israel.
And also, I mean, when they brought out the Holocaust films in the 70s, they also brought out that TV series Roots, which was about slavery. Again, which told a false version of history in order to make the white man seem really evil and the blacks like poor victims. And they weren't poor victims. They were well looked after. And it was the white man that freed the slaves. This is what they always seem to forget. It was the white man that freed the slaves. It wasn't the white man that enslaved them in the first place. It was their black African brothers that enslaved them in the first place and then sold them on to the white man. And the white man treated them far better than they ever got treated in Africa. So you have to compare the two now.
The Jews again were involved because, you know, they owned the ships. And then they owned the auctions, so, you know, they were getting a cut of every slave as well. So, and that's never really been shown in a Hollywood movie, the side of the Jew played behind it all.
They try to cover that up. Thankfully, there are some blacks that are speaking about that now, and there are sites you can go online that are maintained by so-called black professors that do expose the Jewish role in the black slave trade. And I think there's someone from the Nation of Islam that wrote a book on it. So I think the blacks are waking up a little bit more to the Jewish role in the slave trade, but they still don't seem to have woken up to the Jewish control of Black Lives Matter and these other movements that we know George Soros is involved in. Again, another of these Jews that we expose later on in the series. The next one that we came to, again, this was another one that caused a bit of controversy. This was on October the 2nd, and it was entitled United Goyim and the Khazar Connection. And United Goyim is obviously United Nations, because Goyim just means nations. And that's what the United Nations are. It's United Gentiles being controlled by Jews. But the Khazar Connection bit was the one that I think stirred a few people up, because I think they thought that what we were saying was that there weren't any Jews before these Khazars, and that they are actually Khazars. But we know there were Jews before that, called by various different names before they're even called Jews. And the Jews were first called Jews at Babylon, when it was the dregs of the remnant of Judah came back from Babylon to Palestine, married with Arabs, Nabataeans and Edomians, and they became known as the Jews. And Strabo says that they looked like the Nabataeans, who were Arabs. So that was where you got this Arab Semitic look. And after that, it was when they got kicked out of Palestine, they eventually ended up in Khazaria, and they ended up interbreeding with the Khazars, and the Khazars became Jews. And from there, we get to today, and the Khazars moving into Europe. So we weren't saying there were no Jews until the Khazars. We're just exposing, or talking about, for those that hadn't heard it before, this Khazar link. And you unearthed quite a bit about these Khazars, Dennis, didn't you? About them being phallic worshippers.
Again, it was Benjamin Freeman. Again, it was quite adamant about these Khazars and their origins and how they have moved on today to be in control. And a lot of these Wall Street bankers as well are all from that kind of were a part of the world, their relatives. So. And that's easily found on the internet. You can easily go onto Google and Google Wall Street bankers, and it'll show you the bankers, the names, and where they're from, or their originality. So, no, at the end of the day, again, great thanks to Mr. Friedman, and he's a great source for me because I can turn his story into visuals quite easily for me to do that, and to get the point over even more than. As well as he got it over, now you've got a visual thing with it as well. It's double barrel. So I'm more than grateful for Mr. Freeman.
He's got quite a gravitas to his voice, which you would expect that with the way these Jews are involved with the media anyway. They're just good at it, because a lot of it is pretending to be something that you're not. I mean, that's what acting is, isn't it? It's lying and play acting and pretending to be something else, something which the Jews have great experience at. These crypto Jews and these Muranos infiltrating our societies and pretending to be Christian when all along they're following the Talmud and just trying to take over our countries. They're experts at lying. That's why they've been so involved in the intelligence agencies and spying through the years as well.
Yeah, and it's also a good reason not to get married to a Hollywood actress, because you can't tell if she's crying or not, really.
Yeah, you wouldn't know, would you? And the next one that we came to, October the 9th, Fetus Feminization and the Rise of Androgyny. And this is where you were talking about this contraceptive pill that you found out about, Dennis, that it was affecting the male fetuses in some way. Can you recall what you were looking into in that episode?
Cypretin or something, but it was called. I'm not a medical expert, but I investigated the actual use of that pill. It was taken by millions of women from the 1980s, and there has been found recently to be feminize the female body when eventually it does give birth. It's been infected, and consequently more. Homosexuals are being born because fetuses have been feminized. Whether this is a coincidence or not, nobody knows, but, there's a question mark there. The fact that they want to feminize, the male population, when you've got, the bearded, whatever he was, winning, the Eurovision Song Contest, you've got, macho Hollywood actors wearing dresses. And it's all part of this feminizing scheme, which I'm sure they're planning further down the line even more so. And that was just part of it. I mean, it wouldn't surprise me if that was purposely done.
So it's not just social engineering to emasculate us and feminize our men. It's also actually in the pills that are being given to the women so that they can have sex without getting pregnant. So they're encouraged to be, to have as much sex as possible with no fear of getting pregnant. And while they're actually doing that, they're also ensuring that if they do get pregnant, then the fetus is going to be feminized. And on top of that,
there does seem to be more homosexual men around today than ever. I mean, I know at one time there were a lot of them in the closet, but even so, they seem to be on every street corner now, certainly on every TV show.
Well, yeah, I would say on top of that, we've also got there's feminizing chemicals in the plastics, in the antidepressants, in all sorts that are going out there, not just in the contraceptive pill, but there's feminizing hormones in all sorts. This estrogen hormone has just got everywhere. It's in the waterways, in the food, in the containers of it, that our food is contained in. And it's all working to emasculate the men. And rather than realizing that and trying to make the men more masculine again, they're doing their hardest to turn men as feminine as possible. You know, this is the proof of the fact that our states have been taken over by the enemy, is the fact that instead of reacting to this and trying to make us more masculine, they're doing the opposite and saying, oh, no, it's quite fine that males are being born with feminine features and feminine characters. It's perfectly normal. We'll make everybody like that. And we'll teach the kids as if everybody is like that. You know, this is just more proof that our states have been taken over. The Zog is a reality. Zionist occupied government is a fact of life. And it's not just Zionist, it's Jew occupied government.
Yeah.
I think
it's pushing it. Well, this pushing of transgender as well is quite obvious, because in the feature where I did, the last feature was, you know, I showed this child of two or three being brought up, as a woman and, well, as a girl and as a boy, you know, wearing a dress and yet playing with a train set. And this couple from Walsall in the UK were quite adamant that, by doing this, he would know when he were older, you know, the more about women. And if that was not bad enough, you know, to take on board, then suddenly it switches to the US, and where the White House has a transgender restroom. So it goes right to the very top, from the back streets of Walsall to the White House in the US. This is a now a fact of life.
It's just as disgusting, really. And it's child abuse. So those children that have been treated like that and brought up as if they belong to another sex, that's a psychological damage that's been done to them. Yeah. And in any sane society, those children would be taken away and put with a normal family. But instead...
Yeah, the family could be put behind bars.
Yeah, instead they promote these families. They put the parents on the TV and they pat them on the back for doing this. I mean, in Sweden, they're stopping using gender terms. They're just going to call the children hen. So there's no male or female term.
I've heard this, yeah.
Yeah, I mean, that's the way it's going. You think how are these poor kids going to turn out? So confused. They're going to be mental cases. And also at this time, October the 17th, which was the next week, that's the second YouTube Holocaust of your movie, of your documentary series. They all disappeared once again for the second time this year. I noticed they're actually back up there now, because they disappeared again another time after that, I think, Dennis. They keep being removed, don't they?
Yeah, strange, because I had this with when I was doing the documentary Adolf Hitler, the Greatest Story. I would upload one, and then it would be taken down. And then by the time I'd emailed somebody to say, oh, by the way, it's been taken down, they've gone on and checked, it's come back up again. So you tell me, you know. But eventually they were taken down. And again, last couple of weeks ago, the whole channel was taken down, and then it was put back up again. So there's an egging going on somewhere in YouTube, I don't know, but, you know, must have some amount of friends up there who see what we're doing.
Well, thank you. Thankfully, you've got an army of supporters, and any time it gets taken down, people quickly enough start uploading it again. So that's the good thing about the internet, really. Yeah. Good thing about people downloading it, isn't it? That you share it with people, and if it gets taken, then somebody else can put it back up there. And the next one is when we got to October the 23rd, and it all goes back to Babylon. And this was to do with the European Union and race mixing, and how one of the first race mixing incidents in history is noted down in the Bible as happening in Babel, the Tower of Babel, when God confounded the language of the nations, because he didn't want them race mixing together. He didn't want them all making a name for themselves. He'd already given them names for the separate nations. But under Nimrod, who was running this multicultural state, he was encouraging them to race mix so they could create a new nation with a new name made up of mongrels. And this was the blueprint that the European Union is following, so much so that their European Union headquarters in Strasbourg looks exactly the same as the painting of the Tower of Babel. Quite shockingly similar to it. And this was the first instance of this happening, where they, if you look into the other history books that, besides the Bible, talks of how Babylon was this multicultural state, and they brought in the Aborigine nations from around, used them as labor, exactly as Adolf Hitler wrote about in Mein Kampf. They used these other nations around them as labor, and then they started interacting with them, socializing with them, allowing them to stay within the city gates. And sooner or later, they ended up making them equal with each other, and then they ended up breeding with them, and then you end up with the fall of Babylon. They can no longer maintain the civilization. This is what we see all over the world. We see the same thing happened in Egypt, same thing happened in India, same thing happened in South America, same thing happened in China. The original Chinese civilization was a white one, and we know that because we have the mummies, these white mummies that they found that the Chinese authorities won't let us investigate anymore, because it proves that originally in China they were white. You know, the Mongols themselves, the first evidence we have of them is from about Jesus' time, the slanty-eyed Mongols. They may have bits of paper saying they have a history going back before them, but the first recorded sort of sightings of that type of human being is around about Jesus' time. So before then, it must have been white. Well, Dolmens, Megaliths.
They've always had a city somewhere in the world which is represented. Babylon, Paris before Berlin, and Hitler, as we know, cleared out Berlin, and today the cities where, if you were to live by Babylonian standards, would be Hollywood, and they want to turn the whole world into one big Babylon, where not only the race mixing but all the decadence, what goes on as well, what went on in Berlin. And even now I get the odd comment on there saying that, what was wrong with Berlin anyway? You know, it was only sex, and, you know, what they don't tend to realize, it was every single style of sex, and, Hitler was right to clear them out, and no doubt everything, what was going on there is going on at Hollywood as well, as we speak.
Well, the word Babylon just became synonymous with debauchery and immorality. And it is so, again, in the Bible, the book of Revelation talks about the whore of Babylon fornicating with all the kings of the earth, all the merchants of the earth. And it's talking about this system that we have now, this Babylon system of materialism, where everyone is just into hedonism and sleeping around and race mixing and homosexuality. All these sickening things go back to what was going on at Babylon. And before that, it goes on. It goes back to what was going on before the flood. I mean, the flood itself was because of a race mixing incident.
Exactly.
Sons of God mated with the daughters of man.
No doubt it'll get sorted again, but while all this is going on, it's, you know, especially if you've got children, you've got to be careful because, I think one every 3 minutes children go missing?
I don't know. That's a shocking figure. But I was going to say, people will say, well, you know, where's this proof of God? Why doesn't he come down and do something? Well, he already has. You know, you've got the flood, you've got the getting rid of the Tower of Babel. How many times do we have to be told that race mixing is the ultimate sin? And if we do that, that's it. We're gone. We're blotted out from the race. That's a branch of the family tree that's dropped off to the ground dead, and that can never be revived. You know, there's nothing worse that you can do. I mean, in some ways, homosexuality is not as bad as race mixing. Homosexuality is over and done with that generation. You know, they're not going to produce other homosexuals if they produce children at all. Whereas if you're race mixing, that's it. Every generation that you've created from then on is going to be mongrelized and no longer a part of the white race, no longer capable of maintaining civilization. No, will no longer have any ancestors, nobody that looks like them. There'll be no uniformity in their children. They won't look like the parents, and they'll be weak and sickly and prone to disease and psychological problems, depression, suicidal. You know, it's just the worst possible thing anybody could do to their children.
The prime subject for a government to manipulate, which is exactly what they want.
Well, this is one of their main things that they're pushing, isn't it? I mean, every soap opera, it's race-mixed relationships. Yeah. All these advertisements, race-mixed families with mongrel children, white and black parents, totally against nature and totally against what the Jews promote for themselves. I mean, the Jews...
Of course.
They'll have big billboard advertisements saying, if you're a Jew, you must marry a Jew. You cannot marry anyone else. And if they do marry an Arab, they're not allowed a visa. They're not allowed into Israel if they've married someone else. They're only allowed to marry their own. And their laws are based on the Nuremberg laws. And that, as we say, this is basically just the natural order. It's ensuring that things are done according to the natural law so that people marry somebody that looks like themselves, which is basically guaranteeing the rights of children. A child should have a right to be born into a body that was designed by God, not a body that is a mockery of the ones that were designed by God. If you don't believe in God, you can say nature. You know, nature designed these specific kinds, designed the specific races. So then go and mess that up and force that on a child, force that on a life. So you've got a living abomination that's been created by you that has to live with that. They have to live with that fact that they know that they are an abomination of nature. Now, you've got to have some sympathy for them, feel sorry for them. But that doesn't mean
it's not their choice, is it?
Not their choice. It's not that choice. But that doesn't mean you can say, oh, well, that's fine. You can breed with white people because you can't wash it out. You just got to say, well, sorry that's happened. But, you can't be part of a white nationalist movement. You can't be part of an ethnic nationalism if you're not of that ethnicity. That's the problem. I suppose there is a debate to be had about what should be done with them. But so long as they're breeding with other ones that are like them or not breeding at all, then it's not a problem. The problem comes in when they want to breed with white people because they want to lighten the skin of their offspring or because they're deluded and think that they can get back to being white again. You know, it's just terrible to do that to your children. Well, how can somebody do that to their children?
It's this extreme, again, what they call normal, the centre ground, this propaganda, what they've used over the years to say that this is the way to go. And it's obviously the way to go for them because that's exactly what they want. They want to manipulate loads and masses of the population who have no longer got the strength of the family or either live on their own in a flat or maybe they're even homosexual. These people are easy to manipulate and that's exactly what they want.
Well, people are encouraged to take whatever they want without any regard to the consequences or what happens to society. And they would say, well, it's your human right to have sex with whoever you like. You know, they don't think, well, hang on a minute, surely it's the human right of the child to look like its parents and to not be a new creature never before seen on the earth. That's the correct way to think. But it's because of this human rights law, which came from the Jews, which is just the promotion of the individual taking everything that he can from the society that nurtures him and that brought him up. It's saying, no, you don't owe your society anything. You don't owe your nation anything at all. You should just be taking whatever you can from them for the most profit. And, of course, that's exactly what the Jew does. And the Jew needed laws like that so that he'd be able to do that in the nations that he was in with his usury. So he could make a law allowing him to make as much profit as he could from the people around him, even though he hadn't contributed to that community in any way in the past.
Yeah, doesn't that sound familiar at all, throughout history?
Well, right the way through history. And hopefully in this series, we've been tracing the Jew all the way through history and his fingerprints and the way that he works and what he's done to us and the reason why we are against the Jews, the Jews and their lies.
Yeah, well, ways two to major, reject it. Major things about that. One is the internet, obviously, has been a great help. And obviously, previous to the internet, the work of Adolf Hitler, who exposed the Jews and educated the German nation about the dangers of what they represented. So, you know, certainly the internet has, I dread to think where we would be without the internet because we've learned so much over these last few years from various quarters that we would be totally ignorant of much of what's going on in the world.
That has been a massive help for getting the truth out. And what we talk about here, you know, it's all learned from people that have gone before us in the past. You know, we owe those brave people in the past that wrote down their research, wrote down their thoughts and so that we would have it for today, so that we could talk about it today and use their thoughts and their ideas to help us to resist today, which is what we're trying to do here. It's people to resist and inspire them.
Well, the thing is they wrote it down in the hope that, you know, they wouldn't have known about the internet, but they would have been in the hope that one day there would have been a means of getting the information out. And that's exactly one of the reasons I did the greatest story. The truth needed to be out there. Whether in the future anybody can use it to the benefit of mankind, then, you know, that's one of my hopes. But, you know, we'll see.
Well, truth will out. The truth will always come out in the end. Truth Will Out Radio. Yeah. Well, it's brought us to the end of the podcast, really, Dennis. We've only got a few more episodes, but they've been very recent. They're probably fairly fresh in people's memory. So if you just want to remind people again where they can find your work.
If people wanted to visit the greatstorynevertold.tv for the Adolf Hitler documentary, which is proven to be a life changer to many people, and also what is really a follow up of and why things have gone as they have today is Communism by the Backdoor.tv, or join me on YouTube at Dennis Weiss. Hopefully the next two episodes, 13 and 14, will be uploaded, if not before Christmas, which I had hoped, then certainly not long after Christmas.
Okay, well, thank you very much for listening. You have a happy new year, Dennis, and have a very happy new year to our listeners. And we do hope you'll join us again next Friday for another live broadcast of Truth Will Out Radio at radioarian.com.